Okay, so let me first thank the organizer for giving me the opportunity to speak here, and let me also thank them as the last speaker for the very nice program we had this week. So I'm going to speak of entropy methods. I will speak of only a few topics, and I will try also to respect more or less the schedule, so I will skip many details. I will, in particular, skip some details concerning the physical application of the method I present here, and I will present them only from the point of view of PDE and variational approaches of these entropy methods. Okay, so I will speak of four examples, if I have time. The first one is concerned with linear diffusion, and it's intended for people who have not seen this entropy method before. There have been plenty of work on these questions. It starts in the 70s with the logarithmic Sobolev inequality. It has been extended in probability theory and more recently adapted to PDEs by the people who are quoted here and some other ones. So let me start with a very basic example, which is the heat equation, and let me explain you what we want to do. You have the solution, in the whole space here, and what you want to see is how the solution behaves for a large time, and how do you go to the self-similar solution. Actually, what you are interested in more specifically is the control in the L1 norm to this intermediate asymptotic regime. Okay. So to do this, the first thing to do is to rescale the problem in order to have the convergence to a stationary solution, which is easier to study. Now, if you introduce this rescaling with this special ansatz, the nice thing is that you replace the heat equation by the Fokker-Planck equation. And if you are careful enough to take this precise ansatz, then you keep the same initial data. So this is convenient when you want to deal with an entropy. Okay, what is this entropy? And don't be afraid, it's actually here in this case a free energy, if you want to speak in terms of physics. Well, it's the usual V log V term plus normalized by this V infinity. V infinity is the stationary solution. Okay, so if you develop it, actually it is this, because the V infinity in this case is the Gaussian. Well, what you have to do is to compute the time derivative of this, so you get an entropy production term, or the Fischer information. And the nice thing is that this Fischer information, which is written here, actually controls the entropy itself. So for almost for free, you get the exponential decay of the entropy, and this is the type of property we were looking for. You may also notice that, and this is a general property, that the stationary solution is exactly the unique solution which makes the inequality an identity, of course, up to the invariances that are natural in the problem. Well, so this allows you to conclude, because, you have the Cesar-Kullback inequality, which tells you that the L1 norm is dominated by the relative entropy. So the relative entropy of V to some V bar controls the difference of V minus V bar in the L1 norm, which means that in the rescaled problem for the Fokker-Planck equation, you have an exponential control of the L1 norm. And if you undo the change of variable you did at the beginning, then you get an algebraic decay which turns out to be optimal in the L1 norm. So this solves the question of intermediate asymptotics. Well, let me insist a little bit on the role of the inequalities and the logarithmic inequality. First of all, it has several forms depending on the context in which you are interested in. If you are dealing with probabilities, or if you are interested in statistical mechanics, then it's very useful to introduce the Gaussian weight, which is here, because in that case, well, you have an inequality which does not depend on dimension. And it's very appropriate to take large dimension limits. Actually, you can even see it as the limit of the critical Sobolev inequality when the dimension goes to infinity, in some sense. Well, Another remark, which is, well, if you don't realize this, it can be quite misleading, is that the logarithmic Sobolev inequality, in the way it was written just before, is something which is not invariant under scaling. So if you perform a scaling, well, actually you get this form, which is now invariant under scaling, and this was noted by Weissler in 78. So let me just show you how you get this. Well, make a scaling which preserves the L2 norm, so this one. Okay? Then all the other terms which show up in the logarithmic Sobolev inequalities are the L2 norm of the gradient and the W square log of W square, which is here. And if you made a change of variable corresponding to the scaling, then you have an L2 term showing up here and a log of, a lambda 2 term showing up here and the log of lambda showing up here. So if you optimize on lambda, well, you go from the standard form of the logarithmic Sobolev inequality to the one which is invariant under scaling. So before going further, let me introduce what is usually called the entropy-entropy production method. Actually, as a subproduct of this entropy setting, you can prove the logarithmic Sobolev inequality itself. How does it go? It's simply by taking one more time derivative of the entropy. So you take the second derivative of the entropy or the first derivative of the entropy production, or actually a combination of the two, and what you realize is that you can put this in the form of a square with a minus sign here, so it's decreasing. Now, for large time, the solution will converge to the stationary solution, the V infinity, W is the square root of V infinity here. And for V equal V infinity, well, all these terms are zero, which simply means that this quantity is decaying up to its limit, which is zero. Well, this is the proof of the logarithmic Sobolev inequality, because for any earlier term, and for instance for the initial data, you knew that the entropy production minus twice the entropy itself was bigger or equal than zero. Well, this is the basic method for entropy-entropy production. So now let me go, the next point, which is to deal with more general but still linear equations. Here you have a different coefficient. Actually, to simplify the things, I will take d equal to 1 in the following. And A is now a potential. So previously, we had it after the rescaling, but here I assume that it's given. The basic assumption you assume is that, of course, V infinity, which is e to the minus A, is in L1. This is the candidate steady state. But actually, you will require more, and there are convexity assumptions which are hidden behind. So you ask the same question, what is the rate, the exponential rate, actually, you want, and what is the connection to logarithmic Sobolev inequalities? Well, and this is a work which has been initiated by Toscanini, let's say, and then developed by all these people. If you consider a convex function psi, out of it you can build a relative entropy, and I put quotes here, because it doesn't correspond to what is usually called entropy in physics. then, provided you have some assumptions which are listed here, and especially this admissibility assumption, you will be able to derive an entropy-entropy production method. So the typical examples for which this admissibility condition is satisfied is, of course, the case of the usual entropy, W log of W, but also for any power in the range between 1 and 2. Okay, so let me show you very quickly how this goes. You first derive this entropy and you get the entropy production term, which has this expression here. Okay, and well, let's say in the simple case where the different coefficient is 1, then you compute one more derivative with respect to time and you find two terms. For this term, with this assumption, you are able to compare this term with the entropy production itself, this one here, and the second one appears as a positive term. Well, let me be a little bit more precise. It's the trace of a product of two matrices. The second one is a matrix which is positive, non-negative for quite obvious reasons. And in the first one, the condition that is non-negative is actually the admissibility condition that was two slides ago. So once you have done that, you control the derivative of the entropy production by the entropy production itself, so you have the exponential decay, and then if you do one integration, I mean, if you write that what is the entropy production and you integrate from T to infinity, well, actually you recover the exponential decay of the entropy. Okay, and well, the condition which is here is known as the Bakri-Emery condition, and has been generalized by the whole group of people I mentioned before. Okay, and then using a Cesar-Kullback inequality, like in the case of the heat equation, you are able to control an L1 norm. Okay, so let me go back to the standard examples. First of all, the case of the logarithmic entropy. In that case, well, what you get is that you control the relative entropy to the stationary solution by the entropy production term. Maybe it's more interesting to see it where you make T's change of function, and then what you see is that you have a generalized Gaussian measure here, and you control F square log F square with respect to that measure in terms of the L2 norm of the gradient with respect to the same measure. But also interesting is the case of the non-logarithmic entropy, the case of the power loss, where P is between 1 and 2. The restriction on the exponent comes from the admissibility condition. And in that case, if you make, well, T's change of function, which is a generalization of T's one, then you find a family of inequalities, which is written here, and were introduced by Bechner. Actually, T's inequalities are not so mysterious. If you take P equal to, which is the limit case, well, T is simply a Poincaré inequality with a Gaussian weight, nothing else. If you take the limit P going to 1, well, you see that the left-hand side has a limit, and actually you recover the logarithmic case. And you have a whole family which interpolates between the logarithmic and the Poincaré inequality. However, it's not completely trivial, because you can say, well, you can notice that any of these inequalities for P less than 2 implies the inequality for P equal 2, but P1 less than P2 does not imply that BP1 implies BP2. So it's not a hierarchy, first of all. And second, if you want to use the Poincaré inequality to derive such inequalities, actually, you don't get this constant, but a constant multiplied by P minus 1, and you lose any inequality in the limit P going to 1. So these inequalities are by far non-trivial. However, they are not optimal, because if you look at what is the entropy production, well, the computation of the derivative of the entropy production term, before we were just saying that this was non-negative. Actually, for P between 1 and 2, this is something strictly positive, and you can take advantage of this. So, if you are a bit more precise in your computation, well, you get that a convex function of the entropy is actually controlled by the entropy production, which means that if you go back to the Bechner setting, that you have a better control on this generalized Poincaré inequality. Still, this is not a hierarchy of inequalities, but there's plenty of interesting properties that I cannot list here. And for instance, if you have the optimal constant, then there is a single minimizer, which is very nice to make developments. Okay, so before going further, let me mention a long list of possible applications. Well, we have seen what can be done at the level of kinetic equation for more complicated diffusion than these simple diffusions. It is noticeable that if you put a Poisson coupling, so a nonlinearity, which is given by a Poisson law, basically it doesn't change the estimate. So it's very convenient to work in the case of semiconductors, or eventually in the case of chemotaxis, you can have estimates, which are basically the linear ones. These can be also extended to models like these types of models, which are, of the energy transport type. So these are models which are thermodynamically very consistent, and it corresponds to systems of equation, where you have not only the transport of the particle, but also, for instance, the transport of heat. And then this can be extended to various other models. Reinhardt mentioned his Stoke the case of traffic flow. This also can be extended to the case of the model of flashing red set, where you have explicit time-dependent forcing in the equations, or even, and this is under work and progress with Alexandre Meunier, you can even use it to get estimates from the Navier-Stokes equation in dimension 2. This has already been noticed by these people. But even for cases which are of practical interest, like fluid structure coupling. Okay, and there are plenty of questions which are in investigations. Understanding the hierarchies is still some open problem, but there are also very practical problems which are not completely understood. The method works basically for convex potentials, so singular potentials are not included, and still you can derive entropy production estimates by the direct variational method. So there is something to understand here, especially in view of problems with concentration. And this is also the case where you look for vanishing diffusion coefficients. And for instance, the motivation would be the model of traffic flows that Reinhardt introduced to us, where the diffusion of the speed in the speed for the drivers goes to zero when the drivers have a speed which is close to the average speed. Okay, and then there are other questions which are probably very interesting, but I don't have time to mention here, that for practical purposes, you usually have a much faster relaxation, and this has to be understood, especially using these convex inequalities. Okay, I prepared much more than for half an hour, so let me maybe skip some points. Okay, and let me go to a nonlinear case, which is this one. So I will be very quick on this question. Consider nonlinear diffusion now, which is of this type. Here you have the P-Laplacian, which is a generalization of the Laplacian. And here you have a nonlinearity. U is U to the M. And the important parameter here in this such problem is the quantity Q, which is 1 plus M minus 1 over P minus 1. So you have typically three regimes. The regime Q less than 1, where you have a fast diffusion. The regime Q bigger than 1, which corresponds to the generalization of the porous medium case, in which the solution may be compactly supported for any time. And then the intermediate regime, which is a generalization of the case of the heat equation. Well, exactly like for the heat equation, you can define an entropy which takes this form, except that now you don't have the freedom of choosing, you don't have a rule range of entropies. At least I know how to derive estimates only for these entropies. This one has a very clean meaning when you deal with mass transportation, and this is a topic I don't want to touch here. Okay. Well, you derive the entropy, you get an entropy production term, which is basically this one, and the game is to control this entropy production term minus something which is more or less the entropy. So the kind of result you get is that actually this can be done, and this can be done in an optimal way. The optimal function corresponds to the optimal function for the Galliardo type Nierenberg inequality, which are written here, the optimal function are the same. Well, so if now you use the entropy itself to control some LQ norm, you are able to derive some intermediate asymptotics. Here it is one you can derive, so here it is would be in the porous medium case, and here in the fast diffusion case. And everything is explicit. You have the constant, you have the optimal function, you have everything. Just note that having the optimal rate of convergence simply means having the optimal constant in the Galliardo-Nierenberg type inequalities. Now, I will just focus on the intermediate case, the generalization of the heat equation, to show you some nice feature that you have in such equations. So this will be related to a generalization of the logarithmic Sobolev inequality. Well, as I told you have two regimes, one corresponding to fast diffusion, one corresponding to slow diffusion, and two types of inequalities, which correspond to A less than B or A bigger than B, where A and B are given in terms of the dimension and P by these relations. Okay, and you have the optimal function which are of this type. Now, the interesting case is to see what happens when you take the limit A going to P. In that case, B is also going to P, everything degenerates, but if you divide by A minus P or something like this, well, you can you are able to derive a limiting inequality which is of logarithmic sub LF type. Actually, if you derive the homogeneous Galliardoni-Hahnberg inequality that I wrote before, you get an homogeneous LP Euclidean logarithmic sub LF inequality, which was known in the case P equal 2, this is the usual one, and in the case P equal 1 because it's strongly related to some isoperimetric inequalities. Okay. So this has been studied by various methods. The one I present with variational approach, there are some restrictions. P has to be less than N. This restriction has been removed by Gentil using some hyperconductivity properties and then generalized and understood by mass and flotation techniques by this group of people. Let me mention that the optimal functions are the limits of the optimal functions for the Galliardoni-Hahnberg inequalities, so there are some generalized Gaussian of this type. Okay. Of course, you may also be interested in non-homogeneous logarithmic sub-LF inequalities, and you have exactly the same type of inequalities like in the case P equal 2. So let me go very fast on this, and let me show you a few consequences that you can derive from such inequalities. Well, so here is the list. The first one is that the entropy estimate is a very nice estimate to give an existence result. Dealing with such diffusion is not completely easy. There is a huge literature in the bounded case, but if you want to deal with the unbounded case, you have to be a little bit careful. You have to regularize, you have to use the entropy estimate, you have to rescale. There is a whole large list of things to be done if you want to extend the results which were known in the bounded case to the unbounded case. Just a crucial remark is that you will control the entropy of u to the power 1 over p by the gradient of u, the LP norm of the gradient of u with alpha equal 1 over p. And a nice property is that it is actually convex, a convex function. Okay, let me show you another application of entropy method, which is simply the contractivity property, which gives the uniqueness. Consider two solutions of the previous equation, u1 and u2, and let's build the relative entropy of u1 with respect to u2. Okay, so you just derive, and you, with respect to time, and what you get is time derivative of u1, time derivative of u2, and replaced by the equation itself. And what you end up with is that you have the gradient of the log of u1 minus the gradient of the log of u2 times, well, the same thing raised to the power of p minus 1, essentially. Okay, so this means that this quantity has a sign, there is a minus sign, so it's decreasing. So if you have the same initial data, then you get for free that you have uniqueness of the solution, at least the solution in the framework I work in the existence theorem. I wrote in the existence theorem. Okay. One more thing is the case of, well, what kind of regularizing property you can get, and it is also strongly linked to this type of inequalities. So the method is not very difficult. You write the LQ norm of a solution, but you make Q depend on T, and you derive with respect to the exponent, and of course you also use the equation. So this is the trick. And then what you get is that if you have an initial data which is in L alpha, well, for any positive time, the solution U times T is in L beta, and the constant you get for this estimate, well, as depends on some power of T, it is you easily recover it by scaling. But you also get a constant here, And the optimal constant you get here is given in terms of the optimal constant you have in the logarithmic Sobolev inequality here, and having the optimal case is equivalent in both settings. Well, there is a reason behind this, and actually we have these three things which are equivalent. You have the LP Sobolev inequality, which is here. You have the ultra-contractivity properties, the regularizing property of T's equation, which are here. But you also have T's inequality is actually equivalent to the optimal regularizing property of this Hamilton-Jacobi equation, which is written here. And actually, there is a deep reason in this, which is the fact that T's equation plays a role in terms of large deviations of the T's equation. I'm quite loose at what it means. Simply, what you can precisely state is that in an appropriate scaling, you go from T's estimate to this one. Okay. Now, what does it really mean in terms of generator and in view of probability theory is something which has not completely been understood and is actually the subject of some research. Okay, let me skip to last point. And I think I have still 5 minutes, no? Yeah. Which is a completely different setting. And the game is to try to understand if you can apply this entropy method to other type of equations. So the prototype is here is the case of scalar conservation laws and the simplest one. So take this scalar conservation law, and here we are interested in the case Q between 1 and 2. And the question is again to understand what kind of intermittent synthetics you may have in L1. Okay, so there are a bunch of results which are known for a long time. The case Q between 1 and 2 actually has been solved by Kim, who is visiting here, actually, and by standard hyperbolic methods. And what I'm going to show you is very quickly is how you can do it directly by entropy methods. Okay. So the result you get is that assuming that your initial data has the right behavior at the lower end of its support, we are in 1D, then you are able to consider the L1 norm with an appropriate weight, which is here. Alpha is in that range. And for T's weighted L1 norm, you get an explicit decay of this form. And now, using an older estimate, you are able to derive the L1 estimate. So what is going on? Well, and then, of course, there is a difficulty, and you need some uniform estimate in the term of graph conversions. But let me skip on this. Well, let's do like we did for the heat equation. First, we rescale to get the asymptotic profile. So here, the rescaling you have to do is quite simple. You do this, and you transform your scalar conservation law into an equation which is written here, sorry. And you have simply to be careful, because here you are dealing with conservation law, so you may have shocks. And at the level of shocks, you have to write an admissibility condition, so you have the Rankine-Ingonia condition, and, of course, some admissibility condition which is written here. Okay. And then, well, so you introduce the stationary solution of the rescale problem. Now you have such a stationary solution. And you build a relative entropy, which takes this reasonably easy form. Well, the result you get is that if you derive respect to time, the entropy, you get a term which has a sign. And mu prime it will be negative here. Okay? And there are two miracles that occur in this case. So let me explain quickly, and then we stop here. The first, so if you derive, you have to be careful because you have an absolute value, so you have to consider where the solution is above the asymptotic profile and where it is below, and to be careful with the boundary terms. And you have also to be careful with the boundary terms that show up at the level of the shock. Okay, so let me focus on these boundary terms at the level of the shock, and I assume that I have a single one. Well, you just write carefully what you have. So here you have this quantity that shows up. V plus is U divided by U infinity, okay, at the level of the shock. And V plus corresponds to the left of the shock, and V minus to the right of the shock. Well, then you have to compare u with u infinity of or v with 1. I recall you, v is u over u infinity. So v bigger than 1 means u above u infinity. In that case, well, psi is simply 0. In the opposite case, psi is also 0. And at the level of the shock, you use the Rankine-Ugonov condition and you have a sign here. Okay, so the what happens at the level of the shock does not, you get a sign. For the other one, you have the same type, the other term. you make a Taylor development at order 2. You get this term, and actually you are able to write it in terms of the entropy itself, up to some lower order term, as soon as you are able to control this. And there you have to be careful, because dealing with uniform norms for scalar conservation laws is a bit risky at the level of the shocks. So here you take the infinity norm on the interval in which you don't have the shock. Okay, so these are the two miracles that allows you to derive an entropy production method for scalar conservation laws. Now, the bad news is that this will be difficult to get for higher dimensions, or if you want to mix it with diffusion problem. So it is completely open if you can really adapt to real general problems involving several orders. I will just conclude by saying that entropy production method can also be adapted to fourth order parabolic equations. Fourth order parabolic equations have plenty of bad properties, like they don't have the maximum principle, or they may vanish, or plenty of things may arise. But entropy and a relation between entropy and entropy production can still be derived, actually not by deriving twice with respect to time, but by using Poincaré inequality and inequalities for second order type inequalities. And in some cases, you are even able to derive optimal inequalities, but I'm lacking of time to explain it into detail. So here it seems that we have a general setting for quite a lot of problems, and there are plenty of things which are still to be understood, especially in terms of application, but I don't have time to be more specific here. Thank you for your attention.